Bulletproof Radio, a state of high performance.
You're listening to Bulletproof Radio with Dave Asprey. Hey there, ice bath lovers. Do you want to take your cold exposure game up a notch with some contrast therapy? Well, you should, because cold plunges and contrast therapy can lower stress, up your immunity, and even help you sleep better. It works better than just cold therapy alone. Well, now you can do that with the new Michael Phelps Chili Goat Cold Tubs by Master Spas. Whether you want to relax in a hot soak or get energized with a cold plunge, the Michael Phelps Chili Goat Cold Tub has you covered. You can easily hop out of the hot water, get in the cold water, and go back and forth. When you do that, you get better results in less time, and that's what biohacking is all about. Go to chiligoattubs.com, use promo code DAVE500, and you can save $500 on any Chili Goat cold tub. I have one in my backyard. That's chiligoattubs.com, promo code DAVE500. Quick question for you. What makes you feel more invigorated, less stressed, and more in control of your body? The answer, more energy. Specifically, more quantum energy, because our bodies are quantum systems. Leela Quantum Tech has figured out a way to harness quantum energy so you can reach a state of vibrancy that you've probably never felt. Dozens of studies show that Leela Q's products neutralize the effects of harmful EMFs around us and even release positive energy that can improve your blood flow, optimize your heart rate, and other benefits. Leela Q has some heavy science backing it up. A recent study looked at people who use Leela Q for just 10 minutes. The study used a special blood illumination technique called dark field microscopy, and it showed significant protective and improvement effects on blood flow. So take a quantum leap into higher vibration at LeelaQ.com/Dave and claim your exclusive 10% discount.
Today's cool fact of the day is that, well, I didn't prepare a cool fact of the day because this is a live recording in person with my dear friend, JJ Virgin. JJ has been on Bulletproof Radio before. She's a well-known celebrity, a fitness and nutrition expert, a 4-times New York Times bestseller. And we're here today not to talk about things like the sugar impact diet, but to talk about something that goes way deeper than that. JJ, about, how many years ago was this now?
Four
years ago. This was about a year after I met JJ. Her youngest son.
It's actually my older one.
Bryce is your younger one?
I know, he seems like he's 80, doesn't he?
Oh my God, okay.
He's Yoda.
So anyway, JJ's son Grant, who's her older son, I just figured out, was hit in a really terrible hit and run, given a 5% chance of living.
0.25.
See, I've...
No, he actually got no chance for living.
Really?
No chance at all. No, that was if he... Well, we'll tell the story.
All right.
Maybe I should tell this story.
Well, I'm introducing the story.
He's setting this up.
Yeah, I'm doing my best to set it up.
He was given no chance for life.
Right. Yeah. He was in a very bad way. And JJ, in the time since then, has done, frankly, miracles. Because Grant had massive traumatic brain injury, which is supposed to be sort of life-ending. And he's now back to better than before. So JJ and I are here to talk about what she did, what worked, and how she pulled off what is quite literally a miracle. So JJ, was that a good setup
for
you?
That was awesome. Thank you so much. Good job. Good job, Brother Dave. You know, I refer to you as Brother Dave, and so my community actually thinks that
we're like,
brother.
We're related.
They're like, could you ask your brother? You
know, we do look related. Yeah, that's funny.
So yeah,
we're just good friends. So, what happened? Walk me through the day that Grant got hurt. Tell the audience what happened.
So I was actually out taping. I was getting ready for the Virgin Diet to come out. I was literally a couple weeks before that was hitting. And so you know what that's like.
But the listeners don't.
So
tell them what a book launch is actually.
So here's what happens when your book's about to come out. I had a public television show that was getting ready to air. I had this book about to come out. I had invested everything I had and then some. I'd gone into debt to launch this because I just knew that this could be like a life-changing information that I had to get out to the world. And I am the sole financial support for my family. Mm-hmm. And I have two boys, 15 and 16 at the time. So this has to work. Like, this isn't like optional.
Yeah.
And so I've been working all day long doing video. I come home and my 16-year-old son is in like a mood.
As opposed to all the 16-year-old sons out there.
Yes, and he wants to go to martial arts, but he hadn't gone to school that day because he, or he'd left school because he had a headache, a migraine, right? But he didn't get migraines, so I was like, So he, and he had a miraculous, spontaneous healing experience, and he was now fine, right?
Shocking.
Shocking. And we have a rule, like, if you can't stay in school, you don't get to go do the fun thing later. Totally reasonable, but not to him. He kept escalating the situation. I was like, you're not going. Like, you're just not going. He gets mad at me. He says, I'm not as strong as you think I am, and storms out of the house barefoot with nothing.
Wow.
It is dusk. And my other son comes out, Bryce, you know, and he says, wow, what a jerk. And I'm like, right? And I go in the garage, and I'm working out. I'm doing my burst training. And the next thing I know, my son Bryce and my ex-husband come storming into the garage, and they go, Grant has gotten hit, and he's been airlifted to the local hospital. Now, the only reason they even saw him was they were going out. They were driving out, and they saw this big accident and went and asked what had happened. And this police officer looked at Bryce and said, a kid got hit. He looked just like him. Wow. This had to happen because if they hadn't seen that, and that's why there's little miracles all along the way. Yeah. You know, you could have framed this as, oh, my gosh, that was the worst thing. There was miracle one for us to even find out he'd been airlifted. Because if we hadn't seen him, he would have died in the hospital before we even knew he was a John Doe. We get to the hospital. We get ushered into a conference room. This is another thing. If you get ushered into the conference room, this is it with a very grim-looking doctor, you're screwed. Like,
right,
you're screwed.
Right.
You know. So we're all in there, and he says, your son was the victim of a hit and run, and he has a torn aorta. Now, that's what took down Lady Di, Princess Di. 90% of the people die right on the scene with a torn aorta. He's got multiple brain bleeds. They're called diffuse axonal injuries. He's in a deep coma. And he's got 13 fractures. He literally, when we went to see him, half of his body was covered in road rash with big pieces of glass sticking out of him. And his bones were sticking through his skin. I remember looking at that going, that's his bones sticking through his skin. Like, unbelievable. And they go, we can't fix him here because if we don't fix his aorta, and sometime in the next 24 hours, it's going to rupture. But we can't fix it here because we need a blood thinner here at this hospital, and so his brain will bleed out. So you basically get his brain or his heart, but you can't have both. Well, it turns out that there is a doctor who can do this without a blood thinner over at Harbor UCLA, 2.5 hours away.
Mm-hmm.
So the thing is, though, the doctor said, yeah, but, you know, he's never going to survive that airlift. Even if he did, he won't survive the surgery. And even if he did, he'd be so brain damaged, it wouldn't be worth it. And Bryce, the 15-year-old at the time, says, so like a 0.25% chance. And the doctor said, yeah, that's about right, son. And Bryce goes, we'll take those odds.
That's awesome.
And you know Bryce,
yeah,
so you can totally
like Bryce.
See Bryce doing that.
And they did like three flips.
Yeah,
Bryce
exactly.
was on stage at the Bulletproof Conference doing tricking, which is like parkour with more style. So
that's a good way to put it.
He's a cool guy.
Cool kid. And, you know, all of us virgins, we're not patient, and we kind of defy authority. So... And my ex-husband was a med-mal trial attorney. So we're all looking, we're like going, no, we're overruling you, and we're going to do this. And so Grant got airlifted to this hospital. We had no idea driving down there if we were picking up a body or not. In order to airlift him, and this is another miracle, a doctor from the other hospital, first of all, we had to find this like one doctor that could do this surgery, and there are very few. And there's like one in Southern California, this guy, Carlos Donaire, amazing, angel. He had to accept the case because the minute a doctor accepts the case, the other hospital relinquishes it.
Right.
And you knew this hospital was like, here, take him.
Like,
you know,
hot potato,
here you go.
Right.
Yeah, whoop, monkey on your back. He had to not only take the case, he had to assemble his cardiothoracic team, a neurosurgery team, an orthopedic team, a critical care team, both for adults and peds. He had to do all that. It's now midnight.
Wow.
Okay, and he had to get the stent to put in, and the stent he wanted to use was one that he had used in part of a clinical trial that was over.
Wow.
2 weeks before. So he had none and was not allowed to be done in kids. He said, I'd ask for forgiveness later. I just need to keep him alive. So he does all of this.
That's amazing.
He does all this. We get there at 4:35 in the morning, and he has now put this whole thing together. I find this out way later. And I walk in, he goes, you the mom? And he goes, listen, I got this.
Mm-hmm.
I do this all the time. I had someone thrown up an overpass last week. I fixed them. Don't worry about it. You just go upstairs to the waiting room. I'll fix them. I'll come get you.
Wow.
Who says this, right? We go up to the waiting room. Now, after the fact, Grant tells me, describes what John was wearing, my ex-husband, in the waiting room.
So he was present the whole time, even though he couldn't move or
this
talk.
This is crazy stuff, you know. So he was, you know, he was way over there when we walked into the room where they were going to fix him. He never saw us. You know, he was in a coma. His right. eyes are closed. And he's describing where we were in the waiting room and what John was wearing. And I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah. So the doctor comes in. He goes, okay, he's fixed. I did it. He goes, now, his brain, I don't know. That's not my part. I'm the plumber.
God. It's not what like, a mom wants
it's like
to hear.
You're high, then you're like, boom. You know, we go in to see the neurosurgeons. Mm-hmm. They're like, oh, we don't know if he'll ever wake up, honestly. We just, and I'm like, la, 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 you know. Mm-hmm. So then we walk into the ICU, and I'm watching him, and I looked over at John. And if you're a parent, you're kind of going, there's some times you wish you had a do-over opportunity. Right. So I'm looking over at John, and we're like, huh, we got a do-over opportunity here. We literally did. I was like, I think we get a do-over. I said, and he's going to be 110%. And we just started operating from that principle, which was honestly a ridiculous concept at the time when your son's in a coma. Mm-hmm. And they're not even sure if he's going to make it through the next night and or ever wake up or ever walk. And we have no idea. Right. But I just operated from he's going to be 110%. And I've been operating from that point forward. But he did have, he had to have two femurs put in, you know, both his femurs he had to have rotted. And they had to do that day. They had double orthopedic teams working on him. He had a crushed heel that usually people will never walk again with, you know, a pin and an open wound. And they're like, we're just trying to get him to ever walk again. I go, you know, what would happen if Kobe Bryant were in this bed with that? Because I'm pretty sure you wouldn't be saying that.
Wow.
And that's what I want you to do here. And by the way, don't talk about him like that when he's here. We had a total management of his environment. You could not walk in and say any of this crap.
I wish every doctor would hear that and just take it to heart. But yeah, people are aware, and there's even studies about that.
Yes, yes.
Like, don't say bad things about people when they're unconscious. It's
well,
not nice.
when Grant described what John was wearing, and then, you know, I would sit by his bedside. I'm launching this book, so I'm like full court press. I have to make the book work because now
you have a
God knows what this is going to cost, you know. And let's face it, a lot of the stuff that we've done is not covered by insurance. Yeah. In fact, it's not probably even, it's like,
it's not on the menu, right?
It's like, no, yeah, it wasn't on the, yeah. It wasn't even an appetizer or a side dish. This was like way off the menu. So, you know, here we are doing all of this stuff and Grant says to me later, he goes, Mom, the gray man came down and asked me if I wanted to live or die.
Wow.
And I did not want to live, but I literally would sit in the ICU with my laptop open and I'd just be telling him, yeah, I'm working on the, yeah, I'm answering emails, so just
talking to him the whole
time. I'm just talking to him. Because I would walk in if his blood pressure was elevated and it'd come down. And so I was just talking and he goes, I kept hearing you talking. So I told that gray man, I didn't want to live, but I told him I wanted to live because I kept hearing your voice. And I'm like, knew it. You know, I just could feel him. I could feel him. And there was this energy worker. And I will tell you, I'm very left brain and you've got to give me science. You got to prove it. And all that goes out the window when your son's, you know, hovering between life and death. You're like, sure, send the holy water and the essential oil. Send it all.
If it might work, yeah, and it's like not going to be harmful.
You know? Yeah, like yeah. Send it on over. And so we had someone coming in, Dr. Ann Meyer, who works at Cedars in their brain trauma unit. She shows up like in the first couple days with essential oil. She starts doing this. Grant starts wiggling his nose, wiggling his toes. I'm like, okay, then. Yeah. You know, we start rubbing progesterone cream on him because Dr. Annika Becca was like, got me in touch with Dr. Donald Stein, who did all the progesterone research. I put an email out to my whole community. I'm like, what you got? You know, yeah. You know, Daniel Amen was coming over with Tana, bringing food, Hyla Castle. I had all these people over that the hospital's like, who are you? You know, what are you doing? And then, you know, we started doing fish oil, which was super frustrating. I actually saw Sanjay Gupta in the green room at mm-hmm. Access Hollywood. I told him about this. So this was on CNN. They featured this. But he was on fish oil before the accident. And this is super important. Like, this is one I'm going to get out there. There are a couple things that are now my life's passion. One, that a brain injury can be, I think we're about to be able to do the C word, the cure word on it.
Yeah.
But a brain injury can be healed. And it's not a matter of time. Because I was told, oh, it's just the brain has its own healing schedule. Mm. I'm like, no, it doesn't. This is, time is of the essence. And but at any point, like if you're listening to this and you've had a brain injury, because most likely you have, 17 million people have a brain injury every year. Most people don't realize they did. They don't understand why they're a little depressed. you know, or moody or maybe even suicidal, since 25% of people with brain injury have some kind of suicidal ideation or attempt it, which is just devastating. But these things will work even if you've got an old brain injury, and that's what's super cool. We had Grant on brain on fish oil prior to this whole thing, and this is important because you never know when you're going to hit your head.
Yep.
Do you, Dave?
I might have hit my head a couple times this year.
So, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to laugh about that.
Because you made me hit my head, just so we're all clear on this.
We might have had a little tussle. So, and I might have won. Anyway, float that out there. So, we'll leave that be. But you never know when this stuff is going to happen. So my son was on 5 grams of fish oil prior to all of this, and I believe that's part of the reason.
That's a high dose.
You know, he has bipolar disorder.
Oh, okay.
But fish oil is neuroprotective. And really what you should do is you should do some omega-3 testing. You should balance your omega-3s, do a 4-to-1 ratio of 6-to-1s, and have that dialed in, and then antioxidants produce to reduce the oxidative stress of omega-3s if they oxidize.
And if you, by the way, if you read JJ's book, you read my book, her sugar impact diet, you read the Bulletproof diet, we both talk about the importance of that fat ratio, because that omega-6, too much omega-6 is really bad and inflammatory for the brain.
But you've got to get enough that down. Too. It's important, because then people go, oh, I'm just going to go crazy on the omega-3s. You need that balance. You need an inflammation, anti-inflammation balance. It's all got to be there. So, anyway, the hospital wouldn't let me go over 2 grams because they were afraid it was going to increase bleeding time. There's not one study ever to show this. And so what
really?
I did, zero. There's not one study. Dr. Barry Sears gave me all of the research, because Barry Sears and Dr. Michael Lewis, who both were helping me, a couple more of my angels.
Barry's a great guy.
Oh, my gosh. They did the Gassimi stuff, the coal miner stuff. So they were doing all of this, all of the work that you see out there. And so I had all the research. I took it to the hospital. They said, oh, they took it to their IRB. I'm like, oh, great. Sanjay Gupta told me that he has parents lying down and like saying, you're going to have to get the security guards out or give my kid fish oil. He said they've been taking blue babies off the bottom of pool floors and bringing them back.
Wow.
And I'm like going, and there's no risk to this. So Grant got, we got to give him 2 grams, right? I'm like, this is ridiculous. But Grant spit up his own, hacked up his feeding tube.
Oh, wow.
And then it was game on, you know. Then I had a Nutribullet in the hospital with me, and I was doing all sorts of stuff. I was doing glutamine and probiotics, because he had holes everywhere and major antibiotics, vitamin D, all sorts of stuff. But fish oil was the big thing I just started taking up and doing, because when he came out of the coma, there was no eye contact, nothing.
Were you concerned that glutamine was going to lead to higher glutamate, which
No.
is tied to neuron cell death after
No, I
was, injury?
I was not, because I was much more concerned at the time that he was going to die of cachexia. So one of the things that happens when you've got when you're in a coma is, you know, they can't get you enough nutrition. He had dropped 50 pounds. He was wasting away.
Holy crap.
So I was putting him on really amazing amino acids.
But this wasn't right after.
This wasn't right after.
Okay.
This was over the course of a month, he lost 50 pounds. And I'm watching him waste away, and I'm like, not on my watch. So I was giving him glutamine. I was giving him amino acids. And then I was just like, calorically densing out these little shakes, because he had to learn how to eat again.
Yeah.
You know?
Wow.
And then we had a big sign up there, no hospital food. You're going to love this one. Do you know what they wanted to give him at the second hospital? Because he was in the hospital 4.5 months.
Probably Nutrisweet.
Yes.
Did they guess it?
No, I kid you not. They wanted they were like, you know, what should we give him to drink? I'm like, water? You know? How about water? How about if you want to give him anything else, maybe coconut water? Water.
The people listening may not know this. NutraSweet or aspartame is an excitatory neurotoxin.
And thing for a brain injury. Yeah. Like, what could be worse for a brain injury? They're like, what about Crystal Light? I'm like, we cannot give him artificial sweeteners. Like, you're going to give him aspartame with a brain injury? He's already, so when you have a brain injury, you now have a totally unstable brain.
Yeah.
You do not want something that's going to destabilize it further. That was like craziness to me. Totally crazy.
It doesn't make any sense unless you have a very broken paradigm that food doesn't matter. And some hospitals still have that. And fortunately, some are changing.
Not many, unfortunately.
Well, look where Mark Hyman is working.
Well, Mark's a crusader. And also the Cancer Institutes of America. They actually, I went over and visited theirs, and they had a whole organic farm.
Wow.
I was like, this is badass. But with Grant, when the first hospital, I actually had to put a sign up. They didn't have a fridge for me to use. The second hospital had a whole fridge and kitchen for me. I was like, fantastic. And they had sushi downstairs.
Even
and every
better.
Day, Grant was like, sushi. But the first hospital, I had to go to Whole Foods, drag it over. And Whole Foods actually shipped me stuff, too.
Wow.
They're so good. And
oh, yeah,
then,
we love Whole Foods.
We love Whole Foods. And thank you, Betsy Foster. And but I would pull everything in the hospital, the whole floor was like, we've never seen a mom do this. I'm like, I can't imagine why not.
Yeah.
Like, what are you talking about? This is the most important thing we can do now is this piece. And so that was, you know, in the hospital part. And then, of course, once we got him out of the hospital, it was really game on.
So once you've fixed his body, which is really miraculous the way you pulled that off, what about the mind, though? Because after a traumatic brain injury like that, and I have that personal experience where I've had two substantial ones over the last year, it can take a while pretty serious interventions. What did you do? So you had the short term was progesterone, fish oil.
So short term was fish oil and progesterone, and essential oils we started right away, which...
Which ones? Do you remember?
I've got it in my protocol.
Okay.
There was a bunch of them. Because I literally had someone who this is like, she works in the brain trauma unit and brought them over and started doing them. I'm like, thank you.
We actually use essential oils at 40 Years of Zen when people are doing the neurofeedback training. When they just hit a wall where their brain can't go anymore, we can use essential oils to give them more. I didn't have that in the protocol.
Thank you. I was like, what about me? So I guess I'm going back, though.
The version two is very strong.
It was the first thing that we did. And and again, this stuff I would never have, I saw it from my own eyes. It was one of the first things that we did. And he started to, I'm like, he's responding. Because when you've got a kid in a coma, you're watching for anything at all. Like when they wake up and they're staring off into space, I was bringing in anything to activate his taste, his touch, sound. I just did everything I could think of to just start waking him up. And it was like having a baby. He would get super upset and agitated if I went too far, and then he had to sleep.
Wow.
And so to bring someone out of a brain injury, it's like, it is very much like raising a baby. You know how they go through and they get too much and then they have to process and sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Too much. So that's what we did. So we brought him home. Now, the biggest challenge I had was I have all of these resources, and I mean, I have not even come close to exhausting them, and I wanted to do all of it at once. And he was like, you know. So the first thing that we did was took him back over to Amen's. Now, here's what's super cool is Dr. Daniel Amen was Grant's doctor. He's a personal friend.
Oh, he's a great guy.
So I went and found him at a party because I was like, I want this guy to help my son. Years and years ago, like 12, 15 years ago, I found him.
Daniel Amen.
Yes.
Oh, cool.
So I literally stalked him, and I went running up to him at this party, and I go, I'm a huge Van girl. He's like, okay. So we got to be super close friends, and I actually helped him pick out his Valentine's Day present when he and Tana were dating.
That's so cool.
So we go way back. So he had pre-accident scans because he helped me with Grant's bipolar. And that's why he was on the fish oil and everything else. And so we now have post-accident scans. And he could actually show me where we were and what we needed to do. So we started with him hyperbaric and ping pong.
You know, Daniel Amen made me buy a ping pong table.
I think anyone who's gone to Amen Clinic has a ping pong table.
I have a ping pong robot too, JJ.
I know, I saw
it's
that.
It's so cool. It like throws balls at you like way faster than normal ping pong. I can play with nunchucks now. Okay, not really. But anyhow, did you actually get a ping pong table for Grant?
Yes, we got a ping pong table. Yes, we did, because it was a great way. We started working major hand-eye coordination. Yeah. Then he went back to tennis, and he was doing a lot of training. I went and got, even though I started out as a personal trainer, it's like I needed other people to do these things, you know. And he was going to the gym with me, too. So we started doing all of that. And then, of course, I had real tight control now over his over his diet. And then we started doing neurofeedback. Right, we had that. We had the brain mapping stuff, so that helped.
I just got to say, anyone who's had a stroke or any traumatic brain injury who doesn't do neurofeedback, it's not okay.
Yeah.
Here's why: we've added brain mapping to 40 Years of Zen since you went, and the 24 channel thing. We're finding about 90% of people who come in the door as fully functioning executives, celebrities, whatever they are. They have TBIs and they don't know about it.
I would agree.
It's That's always there and it's affecting their personality. And then in a day, you program around it. Like it's.
You listen to, so 26.4% of the population has a mental illness right now. And at some point in your life, 50% of people have something at some point in their life. Why? I got to tell you, I think a lot of this is brain injury.
I do too.
You know,
way more
and
than we should be.
Way more. I mean, when you think about it, because we think of a brain injury as someone like Grant in a coma. No, if you hit your head and you're like, you've just gotten a brain injury, and you do it repeatedly, it's like your body is a history book. And it's crazy what's not being talked about. I had a brain injury.
Mm-hmm.
I was driving down the freeway. There was traffic slowing. There were two kids like racing and a car spun out, hit me this way, and then a big truck hit me that way. And I was in a Lexus SUV and literally cracked it. Like, you don't crack Lexus SUVs. And I was, you know, out on a stretcher.
Wow.
And I remember going home that night, and I went to the doctor the next day, and like, if you touched me, I threw up. I mean, I was like, and he goes, oh, it just takes time. The brain has its own time schedule to heal. And, you know, at the time, I knew I was doing GPC and acetyl-L-carnitine and phosphoserine and ginkgo and fish oil, but not, and curcumin. I'm like thinking all the things I did, but not at the level. I didn't even think that much of like, oh, I have a brain injury. I could still think creatively, but I was like, oh, okay.
You also don't always think when you have a brain injury.
Exactly. That's the biggest problem. So the biggest challenge with a brain injury is it's going to impact your memory. It's going to impact your reasoning. It's going to impact your impulse control.
Yeah.
Like massively.
Your emotions.
You
turn into an asshole. Like, to be perfectly honest.
Yo, Grant was, in fact, that's what John would say. My ex, and my ex, honestly, I think one of the biggest reasons that Grant is where he is today, I mean, there's a couple ones, because what I want to share is the number one reason Grant's here, but my ex-husband is the angel on earth. He is the most patient, tolerant. Like, he would say to me, he'd be texting going, his inner asshole is out, because literally in the hospital, when you're coming out of a brain injury, you lose your internal editor.
Yeah.
And so we had him at the second hospital. We had a 24-hour security guard. We had him in a posy bed, a zip-up bed, so he's in there. You can't get out. And then we had this cocktail that we would hit him, and it was Haldol, Ativan, and Benadryl. This would knock a horse down. And it would just take him to calm. Now, you can't do that and heal your brain at the same time. So it's a little balance, but I would see this thing come out. It was like the Hulk was coming out. It's like you starting to turn green, and we'd be like, run for it, you know?
Wow.
Because he would literally, the security guard was trying to show the nursing staff how to handle him, and he went on a rage and tore the security guard's clothes off. So, I mean, this is, but it wasn't his fault,
no.
You know? That's the sad part. Like,
but,
no one wants to be a bad guy.
But he probably feels guilty about it.
Oh, then he feels so bad about it.
Yeah.
So he comes home, and, you know, we had these instances at home where he tried to swallow handfuls of pills, and he tried to, like, you know, run out into the street, because 25% of people with a brain injury start to talk about killing themselves or succeed. And I would literally, we'd jump them. I'm like, I did not go through all this for you to like come home and swallow a bunch of pills.
How dare you waste this?
Yeah. No, you don't. No, you don't either.
Oh.
Yeah, it's been quite a wild ride.
When I hit my head, this was in February, I had such bad food poisoning after a business trip that I passed out from throwing up. Hit the side of my head on the tile, just boom, hit the floor. And when I came to, I kind of came close to dying because I was like face down in my puke. It was kind of gross. Fortunately, my wife's an ER doctor and she figured out this was happening. And if she hadn't given me the Heimlich maneuver, I probably would have died. But for a couple weeks after that, I couldn't play Go Fish with my kids, JJ. I couldn't remember where the cards were. And I don't really swear much at home because I have little kids. And I actually don't swear that much anyway because I'm actually not that angry. Like, I've reprogrammed all that stuff. But man, I started swearing like a sailor. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, it's
it.
Like you get Tourette's. I mean, it
was like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, Grant got that as well?
Yeah, it's classic what happens. One of the things that can happen is you can get like hypersexual. I remember him looking at one of the nurses and saying, like, I won't say the F word here, but it was like, he was like, I freaking love you. And I'm like, wow, okay. It's like, okay, inappropriate, you know, but that can happen. They get violent and you just have no editor, no filter. Think about some of the things that go on in your head if you had no filter, if they were just coming out, what could happen? So anyway, now he's home, so we've done neurofeedback, we've done hyperbaric, and we're kind of stopping and starting because I've got all these deep plans of what I'm going to do, but he has to participate.
Right.
And he's going between, I'm angry, I'm suicidal. And then, you know, we've had to put him in and get help all along the way with this. But I have stuck with this. We are going to get him to 110%.
Yep.
And it's just been, he's been progressively, he was progressively getting better. And then we kind of hit a stuck point. And it was not 110%. It was about 70% with, you know, periodic suicidal issues, which is not a way anyone can live.
Yeah.
And then I decided that when he first came out of the hospital, one of my doctor friends, Dr. Elliot Lander, awesome human being, he of Stem Cell Revolution, got to give him a plug. He's so awesome. Love him. Anyway, he did IV stem cells for Grant. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the part of the challenge when you're coming out is you're just throwing everything at him. And I'm like, what's working? But at the time, you couldn't put them into the spine. It's called intrathecal, where
yeah,
you just
stick. In fact, I'm doing that next Saturday.
So, yay. So anyway, so we finally find out you now can do this. Yeah. And we did the first round. So we did the first round into his spine, and then we sent the stem cells out to grow because, you know, if you're not a baby, you don't have that big concentration of stem cells, so you want to boost
that. Did they pull them from his marrow or from his fat?
No, from his fat.
Okay, cool.
So, and I did my fat. I did a Facebook Live of mine being taken.
You too?
I did, yes, because I'm doing them into my knee and hip. So he does this. He had to have another knee surgery. He's had a couple knee surgeries since. You know, it's kind of an ongoing with some of the stuff. But he works out. He's totally cool with that.
So cool.
So we did a knee surgery, and this is an important one. We did the surgery and then did stem cells right after.
Yes.
I mean, this should just be standard,
I'll tell you all right now, having done a good number of stem cells, I've got 25 more doses. If you have any surgical procedure whatsoever and you don't get intravenous stem cells afterwards, you're wasting your time.
Yeah, just it's ridiculous. And here's the other part. What we've done now is I banked my stem cells.
Me too.
Grant's banked his stem cells. So if something happens.
Explain what banking means.
So that means that what we did was we had them drawn, and then we sent them off to a lab that grows them and then keeps some over there. And here's why this is so important. You don't know when you're going to get in an accident, and that's when you need them.
And also, the younger you are when you get your stem cells taken out, the more powerful they are. So what they do to get your stem cells, what JJ and I went through, is, in fact, we both Facebook Live, which is hilarious. They basically take this long needle and they do what they would do for liposuction, where they pull some fat off of like over above your kidneys. Not that much of it, and it's kind of painful.
Yeah, 1 ounce, and it's, God, it took me forever. Like, I was so bruised, awful. But here's what should happen. In the perfect world, hopefully we're getting to this point. You know, if I was going to have babies right now, I would have them genetically tested and their stem cells banked then.
Yep.
Like that would just be what you do. And right now I know at least if something happened where like Bryce had to have a surgery, like let's say he broke his leg,
mm-hmm.
boom, I would have the stem cells there for him. So that's what you want to do is bank them or have familial banking, which isn't legal yet.
It's not legal yet. Well, not in this country. You can also do interesting things where if you did a full human genome workup on people when they were born, and I've had my full human genome done, so you can understand what drugs are going to work, what detox pathways work, and things like that, what B vitamins you should take. Mm-hmm. If I'd have known about some of the mutations that I have when I was a kid, I probably wouldn't be covered like in stretch marks the way I am now. That's one of the contributing factors is I have something called a CBS mutation. And that means that if I don't get extra zinc and biotin, that I am at higher risk for having poor collagen formation, which who the heck would ever know this? Like, I think Chinese medicine wouldn't have even figured this stuff out. But we can do it. So if everyone knew this, even if you just do 23andMe, you can figure that one out. But the whole genome would also tell the hospital for Grant, hey, here's the drugs that are likely to cause problems and things like that. So we could avoid a lot.
So much. It just is the way it needs. And it's moving in that direction. But you know what? What I'm recommending is that we do not wait for that to get there. Like, I'm not waiting. You know, and I'm going to share everything that we do because, you know, like with the fish oil in the hospital and they go, okay, well, we can do 2 grams. I'm like, no.
Yeah.
No, we're not going to wait. If you know that everything is risk reward.
Mm-hmm.
You've got a kid hovering between life and death with a severe brain injury, and you're afraid he might bleed a little more. Sorry, you know, risk reward, give him the fish oil. Plus, he didn't. I actually was checking his bleed times.
Mm-hmm.
So what I would do is every time I knew they were going to draw a lab, I'd up his fish oil.
Nice.
Yeah. So I was like, I mean, this has not changed anything. It has not changed anything at all. And then when I went to Children's Hospital, I just told him he was doing 20 grams a day, and they gave it to him. We did 20 grams a day.
I believe it.
For 6 months. Then we went to 10 grams.
For 6 months?
For 6 months.
Wow.
And then we dropped to 5 grams. We did progesterone for 6 months, too.
So in comparison, that was a really major injury. I took a pretty strong knee to the head, right here. Not that long ago. I'm not saying whose knee it was. Might have just been someone's knee. And it was all in good fun.
Things happen, you
things
know.
Happen,
things
you know.
Happen.
And it was entirely accidental when we were having a fun sporting event. And I went on high-dose fish oil as soon as I could.
And I felt really bad about it, just so we could zone in. I did. I was like, the first thing was like, get fish oil!
You're like yeah. My sister, JJ, and you know, you've had enough trauma in your family. So
I was like, oh no.
I did, though, go on fish oil, but I also, within 5 minutes of taking the hit, I had 10 ampules of unfair advantage, and I had 10 keto primes all at once, because the first thing that happens within minutes of a brain hit like that is neurons start to die and they can leak. And if you can support mitochondrial function, I'm like, these are unlikely to harm me. They're probably going to support the mitochondrial function. And I didn't have most of my stuff. I took a lot of glutathione too, just for the antioxidant effects. And then as soon as I got home, which was the next day, I went on to
went to hyperbaric too, right?
I went into hyperbaric right away. And I also took Lana's progesterone, and I did 400 milligrams a day. That was because you told me to. 400 milligrams a day for 4 or 5 days, and 200 milligrams for another few days. And I recovered really quickly from this.
And that was a big hit.
But the final, it was a huge one.
Yeah, my knee hurt.
Yeah.
What about my knee?
Should we tell them what we were actually doing?
No, we are not. Nope. No, we're not telling.
Come on, JJ.
No, we're not telling. All right. No, we're not.
You guys are going to have to wonder. But the other thing that really made a difference, about 40 days after it happened, I had a chance to go back to the 40 Years of Zen facility in Seattle. Where, like, I don't live in Seattle, I live in Victoria, and I'm traveling all the time for work, but I didn't feel like I was all the way back. And I went in, and maybe we can paste this into the video or something, but we do the 24-channel brain scan on the first day, and we know that what my brain looks like, and it looks kind of like a Zen master brain, because it has very high coherence, and it's a very smooth brain without a lot of asymmetry at all. And that's because of 3 months
of intensive work. Yeah, it didn't start that way.
No, not at all. But the post-hit, oh my God.
I know, I can't believe those pictures.
It was like spaghetti. My brain was really not working. Even though I was functional, I was doing the podcast just like you guys hear me. I was being a dad, but I wasn't all there in an organized fashion. It's like my car will still drive, but it's not driving the way it should, that kind of a feeling. That's why traumatic brain injuries are so slippery. And even worse, you get used to feeling that way. So you think that's the new normal.
Here's the bigger issue, too, with all of this. And you know, it comes from Daniel Amen. He says, well, how do we know unless we look? Yeah. He says, this is the one area in medicine where we don't look at anything. Yeah. And that's why SPECT scans and brain mapping are so critical, because he was able to look at Grant's brain with this SPECT scan and go, here's where the issues are, here's where you need to do. And then we came back another 6 months, he goes, here's where it's healing. And then he did this thing where he could show us how far it could go. And he goes, and here's, you know, how far you can go. And I'm like, completely disregarded that, I will tell you. Sorry, Daniel. Because I'm like, to me, I just went, I do not operate in a limited space. Like to me, I went, okay, the minute you tell me we can only get this far, I'm now going, I'm going past that. I'm going past that. And I'm sure when we go back again, we will see that we did. And so the final thing we did was we've now, not the final, I've got so many more things to do, because I'm now thinking we can actually get him to 40 years.
Oh, yeah.
He wasn't quite ready yet.
And anytime, JJ, you know my doors are open for you.
So we did intrathecal stem cells, and here's what happened. And this is important because no one had this information, so I want this out there, is when he was waking up out of the brain injury, he was very violent, like we talked about. So we do these intrathecal stem cells, and the first 3 days are amazing, amazing. And he's been reading, he reads crazy stuff, and he's super smart. He's developed this whole hydroponic system in the backyard. I mean, he just
What's he growing?
Well, it's now legal in California. And he does, he's been doing amazing art. So he's very, very smart, but he was very unstable. So everything was great for 3 days. We're like, oh my gosh, this was the answer. And then he went off the rails. It was like he was waking back up again. And I'm watching this and I'm like, I always operate from what's good about this. Like, what's good here? And I'm watching this and I'm like, this looks like he was in the hospital. We must be waking up neurons. We must be reconnecting things. Stuff must be coming back. And I send out an email to a bunch of our neuroscientist friends, like Dr. Andrew Humerman and Daniel Amen. And everyone's like, we don't know. We don't know what, because this is like people aren't doing this. So I sent one to Carrie, and I don't know if I can have her name right, Dialis. It's Mark Hyman's buddy.
Okay.
She's a spinal surgeon. I go, this is what's happening. She goes, I've been doing this, and about 72 hours into it, the cells start to differentiate, and people who had numb limbs are screaming out in excruciating pain because they're waking up. And I went, that's it. So it took us about 2.5 weeks of pure terror, because he was back to that place again. And now I never had an adult conversation with him. He was 16 when he got hit.
Wow.
I haven't known this person. Like, he was gone.
That's profound.
And I had a conversation with him a couple days ago. He actually watched the documentary that we've done around this, and he watched three times with John, and then he started texting me really mean, nasty things.
Oh.
And I'm like, I woke up in the morning to all this mean stuff.
Like,
and
it's not about me.
I was like, ooh, you know? And I call him. Now, the old Grant would have, like, broken a wall, run out in the street, you know? The new Grant, I go, what's going on here? He goes, just brought up all this stuff, and, you know, we started throwing this in. You guys got divorced, and I'm like, whoa. I go, hey, we all have done the best we could do at any time.
Sure.
I go, and maybe I didn't show up as my best self then. Maybe Dad didn't. Maybe you didn't either. You know, I go, but we did the best we could at the time, and look how we are all now. You know, my ex-husband's an ex-husband. We are all super close. Mm-hmm. We are a great family. And I go, look at you. Look where you are now. He goes, oh, you're right.
That's a big change.
I'm like, what? You know? And he starts having this totally great conversation. Thank you for pointing that out. And I went, oh my God, I've never talked to him like this is a different human. And here's what else he did, and this is crazy stuff. I come home and he says, I've done this thing with Tesla coils. So he orders these Tesla coils, and he set up this thing, and he's wearing, you know, like a Muse, something that tracks your brain waves, and he's got that set up in the computer. Then he takes the Tesla coils, he does something, so he's gathering the energy, and he is modifying his brain waves. So he's using it to calm himself down.
Cool.
And then he got that thing from the Stephen Gluckstern I turned you on to. So he's wearing this copper coil that pulses, and that he's we're putting all this stuff together, and he can take himself, if he's starting to get agitated, and calm down.
Yep.
Crazy stuff that he's putting together. I go, you realize you're going to change brain injury. You realize you're going to do this. He goes, because he kept going, what's my purpose? Which is interesting in its own, because who at, you know, 17, 18, 19, what boy do you know at 17, 18, 19, or even girl who's going, what's my life purpose? Well,
I knew my life purpose when I was 17. It was to get laid.
Right. I mean, there it is. You know, I mean, it's not like, what's my life's purpose? Why am I here? I'm like, I go, I know why you're here. I can see it. So just like, you know, go with me in mind. But he's like, oh, I get it. He goes, I'm going to create this. I'm going to show other people this. I go, you show people what's possible. So now we're going to start the next one with 10x as many stem cells next week.
Yeah.
And we've got a padded cell ready if necessary.
Is it next week when you're doing it?
Well, he's doing it. I'm doing it the week after.
Okay. It's funny because right now, I guess it's Saturday, a week from today, because we're recording this on a Saturday. And that's what I'm getting. So I might even be like on the same
day.
We'll
all swap.
Yeah,
yes.
Exactly.
So exciting.
I don't think I want your stem cells, JJ.
Yeah, not swapping stem cells, swapping success stories.
Exactly.
I think stem cells are some of the most exciting things we've got happening now.
Stem cells are absolutely profound. I am going to be getting stem cells every 6 months until I run out of
the supply. And I got to tell you, like, we are all commenting on it. All your close buddies here, you know, are like, gosh, he looks so much younger. So that's why I'm doing them, because I have to look younger than you.
Well, I mean, it's only a competitive thing. You do look younger than me, JJ. Don't even worry about that.
And Lana looks awesome. His hottie wife looks hottie smart wife. Nothing better than someone who's super smart and, you know, hot and awesome.
Well, let's talk about stem cells for a second here, because if you're listening to this, you're going, yeah, okay, Dave and JJ, they're like authors, they're successful, they probably spend $1 million on stem cells. No, it's like $3,500. It's cheaper than knee surgery.
Here's the thing, too, and the biggest place they're doing them now is in the knees. I'm going to have my knee and hip done. Mm-hmm. When you really play out the expenses of all this stuff, it is way less money. When you look at a brain injury, the average cost of a brain injury, Over like 5 million people are disabled right now with brain injuries. I think it's much higher, but people don't realize it. And the average cost.
It's everyone.
Yeah, it's
if you were 18 months old and you fell down, you have a brain injury.
Yeah, you hurt your brain. Yeah. The average cost is anywhere between $80,000 and $1 million. So, I'm sorry, stem cells are a deal. They're just a deal. And most of that stuff is going to be out-of-pocket stuff or copay.
Here's the thing. The painful part is getting the fat pulled out.
Oh, it's awful.
I didn't think it was that bad.
Well, because you have more fat than me.
In some places. Anyhow, I had them pull the fat out, same as JJ. That hurts a little bit. And then, well, it hurts more for those who whine. But after that...
It's just icky. It would hurt after the fact, and I was very bruised.
Lana also had... I think this might be a female thing. Yeah. Lana had a lot more pain than I did.
A lot more bruising.
But you're going to be sore for a week. Then they take the fat, they spin it, they get the stem cells out, they can put a few in, and then they grow them. Mm-hmm. But what I had done, and what I think you're in the process of having done, is I'm like, look, if you're going to like stick needles and go into my bones and all this stuff, you don't have to get it from your bone. I got it from my bones as well. And then... I was like, put it in my knee where I've had 3 surgeries, put it in my shoulder where I've had pain, put it in my neck, put it in my spine, put it anywhere that's ever hurt on my body. And then since we have some extra stuff, put it here on my face, put it in my hair, put it in my blood. And then in another procedure after that, I had it injected into my cerebral spinal fluid, the intrathecal thing. That was about, it was before the conference, so I don't know, middle of the year sometime.
Well, right. I mean, that was perfect timing too, to have it. Yeah, I'm having it done in my knee and hip, but I'm also doing a Fraxel laser. And so what it's going to do is it's going to go to wherever there's an injury. In fact, my doc told me that all of them just keep their stem cells banked, and at least once a year they do it just preventively.
Yeah, me
because
too.
Wherever you're hurt, wherever you have inflammation, it's going to go there. So I'm actually creating inflammation.
Yeah.
So I'm going to create a bunch of inflammation deep and then hit it with IVs, and I'm also going to hit the spray gun.
The new spray gun.
Have you seen this thing?
There's a stem cell spray gun. What do they do with it?
How do you not know this thing?
I don't know.
They're using it for burn victims. There is
the spray paint one. I didn't know that was stem cells. I thought it was PRP.
No, that was badass. They showed a picture of someone like, you know, this.
Yeah, the fireman who had like no skin on his shoulder at all, right?
Yeah, like crazy stuff.
It's like a little can of your own blood products and that they spray paint on your skin. And there's a video out there. This firefighter was really charred. Mm-hmm. And he was
like
completely unscarred, fresh skin. It was like something I've never seen before.
Yeah.
So you're going to do that?
It's heck yeah.
How do I get that?
I just sent it to my doctor. I'm like, they laser you, so you're a little burned, but it's really the damage is really deep.
I'm so going to get this done.
I know.
this thing
to look younger than you.
This is what biohackers do. We're like, oh, how can I burn myself and heal better? All right. But the whole point of this episode is that what happened with Grant is both a huge emotional thing for JJ. As a care provider, a caregiver, there's...
As a mom, you know.
As a mom.
You don't want to out... The number one thing I always said is I can handle all the business stress, all the crazy stuff, as long as my kids are okay.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you never want to outlive your kids. Like, that is just not the way things are going to be. So, you know, this was that experience.
I don't know, JJ. I told my kids, I'm like, look, I'm planning to live to 180 plus. I'm like, so if you guys, like... do stupid stuff
along,
that kills
you, know?
You, I'm going to live longer than you. So you guys, if you want to beat me, of course, all kids want to beat their parents. So if you want to beat me, like, do the right things.
That's
like,
a good one.
Let's go exercise. I have no problem with them wanting to eat stuff. I told them, let's go to McDonald's. And I just wanted them to feel crappy from eating because they've never had McDonald's. And they're like, we don't want to go. I'm like, no, really, you should try the McNugget. And they're like, no, we don't want to.
Eat that Mac.
Brainwashing successful.
Do you know what I did with my kids one Halloween? I was like, they go out and trick or treat. And I go, go ahead, eat whatever you want.
Mm-hmm.
Like get sick, throw up. I'm like, they're like done.
But they misbehave for so long.
I know.
So here's what I do on Halloween. This is totally unrelated to the brain injury stuff, other than sugar causes brain injuries when you get too much of it. I just buy the candy for my kids. I'm like, I'll pay you in bulletproof dark chocolate bars with no sugar, and they love those. Like, can I have the ones with salt? I'm like, yes. Or I give them money. I'm like, I don't care.
We always buy back their candy. Yeah. But you know, the other cool thing is, if you put it away, they forget about it. So, you know, that's like, we put it away, but we just would buy it back.
What do you do with
with candy you buy from people like that?
You give it to people you don't like.
See, that's the problem.
I like everybody.
Me too.
I just threw it away.
I feel
bad. I honestly threw it away.
Like, we grew, like, genetically modified corn to make this crappy stuff, and I don't want to give it to people, because even if I don't like them, I don't want to, like, harm them.
Yeah, it's, like, just mean. It's just mean. There is one last thing I do want to point out about all this, because everybody keeps asking now, like, okay, what was it? You know, was it the fish oil? Was it the stem cells? Was it the, like, we had every religion covered praying. Mm-hmm. I was like, great, let's get them all, like all of them. You know, we had like scrolls hanging and holy water, all sorts of stuff.
I would have done all the same things. Just so you guys know, I'm a pretty logical biohacker. So is JJ. She's a science person. None of this stuff can harm. And there's some evidence that it might work. And sometimes you can feel weird stuff happen.
I had that energy. So Stephen Sinatra sent me his energy healer by phone.
He's a cardiologist.
Yes.
Guy.
Okay. So he's a cardiologist.
Yeah. One of the guys behind Earthing, by the way.
Yeah. So he sends me this guy on the phone. He goes, he's an energy healer. He's going to help. I'm like, all right, fine. I'm like, yeah, right. I'm driving to the hospital every morning. He would give me the status report of Grant. Mm-hmm. Because I'd leave at 9 p.m. and get around 5:30, so I'd hit Grand Rounds. He'd tell me what was going on with Grant. I'd walk in. They'd tell me the same thing. And he'd say, okay, now hold the phone up. And I'd hold the phone up, and he'd do this whoosh stuff.
Yeah.
And his blood pressure would come down. He's like, I'm like, all right, you know.
So this isn't stuff I talk about that much, but I read about this in Headstrong, my new book that comes out a couple months after your book is out. And there's a guy, Barry Morguelan, who does like energy work for Tony Robbins, like to support Tony when Tony has events. And this guy's a UCLA surgeon, like a real Western doctor who's one of 12 living grandmasters of a Chinese energetic medicine tradition that's out there that was actually created to protect the emperor of China. And this guy just has mad powers. Like, you can feel what he does. And like, I don't think that anyone who sits there and experiences that can actually filter that out. So you have these people who are really strong. He actually wrote the meditation for mitochondria that's in my book. But that kind of thing, if I had major traumatic brain injury or someone in my family did, you bet your ass I'd be calling Barry and a few other people, like Alberto Villoldo, the shaman who's been on the show. Like, you're not going to do any harm, and something happens when you
put that much, you know, what you focus on expands.
Yeah.
And that's why, like, when I look at when people go, what was it? Here's the deal. Like, what you focus on expands, and I believe you get what you expect.
Yeah.
So I just went, I'm going to expect 110%, because even if I fall a little short, that's better than going, I think I just want him, like, as long as he's alive, you know, what if I said he'll be to 50% and I, like, hit that?
Mm-hmm.
So I decided I'm going to go for 110%, because when you ask the right questions, right, those are the answers you seek. That's all I focused on was, and that's all I've been focusing on. And honestly, last couple weeks, all of a sudden I went, oh my gosh, he's better than before the accident. Like, we've done it. And now I'm like going, oh, why did I limit myself to 110%? But, you know, now the next big thing for us is, now that I know what works here, and again, it starts first with, you've got to make that decision. Most people would have let him die at the first hospital.
Yeah.
So it has to come from that decision of, you know, question authority and break the rules, be disruptive, take responsibility.
Yeah.
It would have been so easy to hand responsibility over. Take responsibility and then set that big, crazy stretch goal and just keep it front and center.
Right.
I mean, I look at the things I've accomplished in my life, and they're all of them along the way. I was like going, well, that's a little ridiculous, you know, but.
There's like a Western reductionist thing, which is a little scary. When people ask you, what's the one thing that worked? Like, okay, let's bake some bread, which neither of us actually does anymore. But you think about this, like, okay, what's the one thing that worked? Well, I baked the water and it didn't work very well. I baked the yeast, it didn't work very well. I baked the flour, it didn't work very well. Therefore, there is no bread. And you're like, that's a really unhealthy way of looking at it. And it's the same thing. Like, what did I do to lose 100 pounds? Well, like, okay, there's a whole list of things.
But there was one thing on the top. So there's one thing on the top, and I'm going to keep going back. Why did that happen?
Because you went,
these things they all talk about aren't working, right? You questioned conventional wisdom. You knew where you wanted to be. You could see it possible, right? You were open to possibilities. And then you went and figured out how the heck to make it happen.
That's exactly
there,
right.
You know?
And the idea of just one thing, I cut myself with a knife, all right, that was just one thing. You're pretty sure that you cut yourself with a knife. But the vast majority of things happening in our lives, in our biology, have tens of thousands of things. And even that cutting yourself with a knife, there is substantial data that says that we are slightly less neurologically responsive when there are more sunspots. In fact, I just had another podcast about that, looking at, yes, space weather does affect human psychology. If you don't believe me, look at full moon emergency room reports. So was it just one thing when you cut yourself with a knife, or were there contributing factors that you weren't paying any attention to that you didn't know mattered? So when people ask for just one thing, or they say, I controlled all the variables, I'm like, no, you didn't. You didn't even look at like 99.9% of the variables.
You didn't even know what the variables are to control.
Right. And so what you do when you want to do what JJ did, you want to do everything that's likely to work and not break things. And it's that recipe, that combination of things. If it was just the fish oil, probably not.
No,
is it possible that something you did didn't help?
Oh, sure.
Exactly. Who cares, right?
As long as it didn't hurt. And there were things, and here's the things. Like, I kept doing things the doctor was like, he needs to be in the hospital for another 2 months. I go, he keeps wanting to go home, and I think he'd be better with familiarity. Maybe that wasn't the right choice. Maybe he should have been there another 2 months. Maybe I did. I would sneak him into the physical therapy room at Children's Hospital and make him do push-ups and stuff. They're like, what are you doing? Like, he wants to work out hard. They're like, back off, Mom. Like, we took him into the pool. They're like, don't let him swim. Swimming perfect strokes. I'm like, you can do it. You know, maybe I pushed him too much, too fast. But
in fact, swimming for people with TBI is really helpful because when you're in the womb, you make swimming motions, it reconnects the nervous system.
But they didn't want to put him in there because they were afraid he was going to have one of those episodes in there, and how the heck were they going to get him out? So harpoon. We actually got to take him to harpoon. That would have been, that's all right. We got to take him on a little hiatus out for 4 hours. So we took him out, we took him to a big pool, we put him in the pool, we videotaped it, and brought it back to them and said, see?
Nice. Well, JJ, kudos to you for standing up to the hospital. When my dad had a heart attack many years ago, I knew enough to be dangerous. I actually called Julian Whitaker, who's one of the top cardiologist doctors, saying, don't do bypasses and all this stuff. There was a hyperbaric oxygen chamber in the hospital, and they wouldn't put him in it. And I was like threatening lawsuits and like threatening to choke people. Not really. I didn't, but I kind of might have thought of it. And basically, the hospital's hands were tied. They're like, it's not legal.
IRB.
If it's not one of these 9 conditions, we can't put him in there. I'm like, but there's 10,000 studies. Okay, there weren't, but there were a lot of studies about this. So getting a hospital to do things, the level of regulatory stuff, it's ridiculous. Yeah. So sometimes what you want to do...
You just must take it into your own hands.
Yeah. And same thing with my dad.
Ask for forgiveness is generally my way I live life.
Like, I might have snuck some food and supplements in that weren't on the list. But you have to watch out. And there's a role, something called a patient advocate. And if you're going in for a surgery or a procedure, or especially pregnancy and birth at a hospital, you really want to have an advocate there who knows what you want, knows what you don't want, and is willing to stand there and go, what's in that needle? Why are you doing that? What's that?
You must do this. Yeah. The number 3 leading cause of death is death by doctor. And all of our buddies are doctors.
Yeah, we're at a medical conference.
We're at a medical conference. I mean, like, these are our best friends. Yeah. But when you're in a hospital, especially a teaching hospital, and Grant's chart was like 2 things of this, and stuff happens.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like you have to be there. You have to be there. You have to have someone there all the time. So, you know, wrong prescriptions. I had a client who started an electronic medical records company because after I started working with him, I gave him some new supplements to take, and he calls me like 3 days later. He goes, I feel awful from what you gave me now. That's like my pet peeve. Mm-hmm. I took the supplements and now I feel terrible. I'm like, it wasn't the supplements. Turns out that his doctor put him on quinine and he was on Nexium.
Oh, wow.
Well, quinine and Nexium together will kill you in a couple weeks. And, of course, he was blaming it on, like, the vitamin D. I'm like, it's not the vitamin D. It's not the vitamin D, dude. So, but I caught it. Yeah. You know, but this happens all the time. All the time. So we've really got to, it's really about understanding that the responsibility lies within us. And that's really empowering, too. Right? So ultimately, that means that you can really, you know, control these and shape this destiny.
Well, JJ, I'm always happy to get a chance to hang out with you just because we're friends, but to be able to talk about this and share your story when this time we did a Facebook Live at the same time we recorded the podcast. So you probably are hearing this on the podcast because a lot more people will see that than on Facebook. But if you're following me on Facebook, just Dave Asprey, the one with the orange photo, then occasionally I do a live broadcast and you might have seen this live, but you'll get it either way. Your new book is...
But you can do a little subscribe so that they'll find out whenever you're doing, because he's so random. You know, what? So if you want to randomly discover when you're doing this, all they have to do is say there's a little subscribe thing.
Oh, cool.
So they can subscribe to your Facebook Live. Then they know when you're going live because it'll alert you.
You can subscribe to the lives?
Yes, you can.
That's a new
thing. You can
thing.
Find out. It's a notify me. There's something in there that says, do you want to be notified when he's going live? Yes, you do. You want to be notified.
Oh, wow.
Brother Dave is live,
right.
So say you do.
I had
there
no
you go.
Clue Facebook had that, so there you go.
And the other part of that is, as you're listening to this, this is really important information. Like, this is going to be my life's work to get this out there. So if you've heard this, and almost every day now we get someone coming to us going, we have a brain injury, what do we do? So I want people to understand what's possible, that there is hope, that you need to do stuff. So if you know anybody who's hit their head, which is everybody, share this on your page too, okay? Share this. This information needs to get out there.
Well said, JJ.
Thank
and
you.
I'm tired of seeing this in everyone who comes through 4 years of Zen.
Yeah.
And it's something that's relatively hackable now, even if it's a very old thing. The brain will fix itself if it knows.
It is hackable, and I completely believe now that we can totally. I'm never supposed to say this. I think we can cure it. So that's what I'm going
the
out
C
with.
Word.
I know I said the C word.
The good thing is neither of us is a doctor, so we're allowed
so
to say we
can say that.
We're joking because we're at the American Academy of Anti-Aging Medicine right now, which is like the preeminent anti-aging physician thing. And JJ, you've spoken here?
I have, a couple years in a
row.
JJ spoke
a couple years
ago. And he's speaking tomorrow.
Yeah, so I'm giving one of the keynotes. There's four guys named David giving keynotes
out
of five.
That's so hilarious.
But I'm the only non-doctor.
That's probably why I'm not giving a keynote, because I don't have
the wrong name.
David.
Right. And here, the doctors, we were lamenting at dinner last night, actually with Dr. Perlmutter, who's also been on Bulletproof Radio, and Dr. Ludwig, that there's this thing where doctors who are doing the kind of stuff that JJ just talked about, they put their license at risk every time. They say, well, this will save a life, I'm going to do the right thing, but it's not approved by a board of peers who are probably all funded by Monsanto and
who are very catty, those other ones. They're kind of mean. So it really is, I view us as we need to be the people, the revolutionaries, getting it out there so that we can support them. It's what Suzanne Summers has done really well.
Really
she
well,
opened the door for so many doctors because she was willing to take the hits.
Yeah.
So I am totally willing for them to just hit me with this, but I'm going to get out there and save a bunch of people's brains.
JJ, we're unlicensed biohackers. Yes. You can't take our license, but we're going to talk about what works, which is really cool. So if you liked what JJ had to say, and you should, because JJ is awesome, this is her new book, The Miracle Mindset. You can order it today on Amazon.
Yeah,
so they should
it's
do.
Up there for pre-order
or
on Amazon.
Barnes & Noble or one of the other places where books are sold online in pre-order format. And this will be hitting shelves in February, right?
Yes.
Okay. So order it now, though. JJ will appreciate it, and so will I, because it's cool. She's also got a documentary coming out. If you want to know the very depths of what biohacking can do and just taking control and doing everything that might work all at once and just not taking no for an answer and being unstoppable, this is a really powerful book, and it incorporates some of the spiritual energetic stuff, the intent and how intent matters. And it also incorporates like some of the hard lessons of, okay, this is trauma and this is how you deal with hospitals. So it's a great book and one I would really recommend you check out. JJ, thanks for being on Bulletproof Radio.
Honey. That was a big hug if you're listening.
Yeah, it sounded like static on the mic. But if you're on video, you saw I just gave JJ a hug. All right. Thank you all on Facebook. And for all of you listening on the iTunes channel, if you enjoyed this, you could do something that would really matter for me. If you go there and just leave a 5-star rating on iTunes so other people can find the show, I'd really appreciate it. Thank you.
The Human Upgrade, formerly Bulletproof Radio, was created and is hosted by Dave Asprey. The information contained in this podcast is provided for informational purposes only and is not intended for the purposes of diagnosing, treating, curing, or preventing any disease. Before using any products referenced on the podcast, consult with your healthcare provider, carefully read all labels, and heed all directions and cautions that accompany the products. Information found or received through the podcast should not be used in place of a consultation or advice from a healthcare provider. If you suspect you have a medical problem or should you have any healthcare questions, please promptly call or see your healthcare provider. This podcast, including Dave Asprey and the producers, disclaim responsibility for any possible adverse effects from the use of information contained herein. Opinions of guests are their own, and this podcast does not endorse or accept responsibility for statements made by guests. This podcast does not make any representations or warranties about guest qualifications or credibility. This podcast may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products or services.
Individuals on this podcast may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to herein. This podcast is owned by Bulletproof Media.